Hi, this is Dani Klein-Modisette, and this is the Afterbirth Podcast, featuring real stories about raising kids that you're not going to read in a parenting magazine. Here's a story by the actor Todd Waring. It's called I Finally Swore at My Daughter, and it was recorded at the M Bar in Hollywood, California in 2008.
All right, we're going to keep going with the lovely Todd Waring.
I finally swore at my daughter the other day. She's 13, going on Satan. Just so you don't think it's a toddler or something. No, I'm swearing at a 13-year-old. I've sworn near her before, as she was leaving the room or had already left the room, under my breath, quiet enough so she couldn't hear me. And she's got good hearing, so it's really, I was chancing it those times. All those times that she really pissed me off. All those times that she told me she didn't care what I thought and told me, what are you going to do about it? Nothing you can do about it. You always say you're going to take away TV, but that doesn't last. What are you going to do about it? Well, I can swear under my breath as you walk away, but actually hope that you catch it as if you weren't supposed to, even though I'm secretly hoping that you will, as if somehow it came from someone or something else, and you just happened to hear it but couldn't describe it to me specifically. I could do that. And just a side thing here, when they berate you for not sticking to the rules that they hate, what is that? It's knee-jerk opportunism. It's like a guy being flogged on a pirate ship going, you skipped one, lame-o! I don't get it. Anyway. It took me a while to figure out what I had been doing when I was sending these little bombs into the ether. I know I felt better saying it. Really feels good. It's wrath. One of the sins. Wrath. But as I look back on it, I knew I didn't want her to think that they actually came from me. I don't know if there's a word for that kind of talking, you know, where other than passive-aggressive, but, and I think it applies more to actually hoping the person does know where this insane attack is coming from. No, it's more like you want them to hear it, but you don't want them to know where it's coming from. It's ventriloquism. It's ventriloquism talking. Now, I was just trying to hang it in the air there somewhere and hope that she'd just sort of walk into it anonymously, just bump her head into it and assess it in a kind of positive self-help way. Just say, boom, I'm a fucking asshole. Let me just think about that and see if that's... And that was the gem. That's what I said. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me you haven't. This was all unexamined until the one day when I let it fly right there. She was right there. Boom. I let it go. I mean, I had turned away as I said it, but she heard it. And the scene was this. It's morning. It's on a school day. My daughter has already skipped her first class, which is another story. It's AMPE. It's morning gym class. It's a kind of Guantanamo for tweeners. It starts at 7:30 a.m., so I have a certain amount of sympathy, but, and we won't go into how many times she has skipped a.m. P.E., so just so you know that there is a limit to sympathy. So now we're working on 8:30. We have moved past P.E. and quickly into first period, and I am in the office writing a note for the school about the lateness. I am perjuring myself for my daughter. And what is the fucking late note anyway? It's a collusion in the joint cover-up of mutual failure. Dear Mr. Gropner, my child and I agree that we have failed in the simple act of getting her ass to school on time. Please accept this excuse, whatever I've written down here, as some thin veil of officialdom to cover up our inadequacies. And the school does the same thing. They say, yes, we accept your handwritten lies as proof of your vigilant parenting, and we'll join you yet again in this ritual of phony concern. I'm sure you could download them on the internet. I'm writing the note as she comes in. Where's my jacket? Where's my green jacket? There's a laundry basket in the living room. Maybe it's there, I attempt to say. I get as far as laundry basket when I wouldn't put it in the laundry, comes shooting out, only a little bit higher. There's so much in that moment. We all know that in and of itself, a flare-up like that isn't enough to precipitate the nuclear option. We also know that the nuclear option is never a result of calm reflection. I'm writing you a note, a complete fabrication on your behalf, so that you can slip back into school with as little fuss as possible. You've asked me to help locate the jacket that you've never put away properly ever anyway. Then when I offer a suggestion, you bite my head off. What do I do? What does one do? Honey, that's a hurtful tone. I can't even begin to see my way to that kind of even-handed response because of the blood that is filling up in my eye sockets. No response would be a very good choice and probably would have been the best approach. You know, when they get the last word, it's one of those, and it's one of those outrageously ugly comments, it just sits there ringing in the air, untainted by anything that I add, and that's when they can hear themselves. That's when they can hear themselves as others do. And that's when she learns. And that's not what happened here. No. What happened was something different. What happened was I turned away from her and muttered, "Fucking asshole." I swore at her. And I didn't raise my voice. I was calm. I wanted it to sink in. You should know. You're being a fucking asshole. Neutral statement. Lay of the land. And then I waited.
What's she going to do? And she hates swearing. Oh, she it's truly offensive to her. She's a highly sensitive and still somewhat innocent fucking asshole. Well, she stood there silently, reached out her right hand, and without looking, cleared off a shelf of books and pictures on my wife's desk onto the floor. And then before I could say anything, she walked down the hall, clearing another shelf as she went, boom, 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 boom. Pretty effective. Now what? I didn't respond to the shelf clearing. What's to say? You fucking asshole. I had raised that point earlier. She had made her point, which is there's nothing you can do that I can't match. Good. But how do you get the genie back in the bottle now that there's nuclear waste everywhere? And who's going to clean it up? Well, I finished the note. I found her jacket. We're about to go to the car, and she says, I'm sorry about all that stuff. Well, I wasn't expecting that. I had just scorched her tender little asshole ears, and she apologized first. Because I thought we were in for this long Cold War, the slamming doors and terse replies, rejected attempts at conciliation, and perhaps worst of all, having to explain all this to my wife, how the morning went, the note, the jacket, the nasty comment, the moment, the F-bomb, the shelf bomb, how the thing all got out of control and how I blew it. And then I realized that she felt that she had dropped the big one too, that she had crossed the line and felt bad. And I shot back with an apology too. No, I shouldn't have used those words. I know how bad it sounds. No, I shouldn't have snapped at you. Thanks, honey. I'm really sorry. Then it went away. And it stayed away. And it never came back. The point is, nothing is irretrievable. And sometimes what seems like the worst thing is just fodder for something better. My daughter's not a fucking asshole. She is 13. Thank you.
For more information about Afterbirth, the live show, the book, or the podcast, please visit www.afterbirthstories.com. Thanks.